Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld. And if you've been listening for the last couple of years here on BBS, you know this program is about awakening spiritual consciousness, how we're moving into a whole new paradigm, a whole new way of being. And more I come across people who are waking up. They said, wow, this is the spiritual awareness has kind of come on them, or they've for me too. I mean, I've had an awakening in the last 20 years, but then I dove right into it. And so I keep running across amazing people who have amazing gifts. And I think a part of this program, and lots of programs on BBS, of course, are about bringing people out into the world and sharing their knowledge, their gifts, their own transformation and what they're giving back to the public. So that's why I'm very happy today to have a good friend, a good old friend, Oscar, what's your last name?
Ricalde.
Oscar Ricalde. I know him for years. I just didn't know his last name. But Oscar Ricalde is, I would say he's a shaman. I would say he's a healer. He's very tapped into another level of consciousness. But as he was saying before the show, he sort of kept this to himself. He didn't want to put this out to the public and in a big way. Of course, he's told his friends and family, but now you just said you decided like
this week
that there's no hiding anymore. And you're going
to
be,
it's time to come out.
But when you say kind of come out, what do you feel you're coming out into being? Because you know, you've hidden your talents because you didn't want to get in the way of your job or whatever. But what do you feel you're coming out to be?
I'm coming out to accept that, first of all, I meant to be a teacher only because I've been taught that there are things that what I thought I knew were totally wrong, meaning science, facts, provable quantum things. I lived for that, the pursuit of knowledge,
right,
is what I've been clearly shown has ended. And knowledge always continues, but I've been put on the path of being shown what knowing is.
Finding, yeah, you mean intellectual knowledge, books.
Knowledge versus knowing. And yeah. I've never understood nor believed in quite any sense of what knowing was.
Because, well, like you, like everyone else, we're brought up in this country, we're shut off to what we know. But besides that, you have some amazing gifts. You have what I call the gifts of the spirit, whatever you want to call it, because, you know, you can see the other side. You can talk to people who've crossed over. You can bring people into shamanic trances. You can channel. I mean, you have... And so people like you, you know, you're trying to fit into a normal society, but, you know, you're one of the people that is awakening and showing how everyone has incredible gifts like this, too.
I don't know if I even call them gifts. I think it's something that we all have, because not having studied any of these things nor knowing terms like chakra or what channeling was or any of this stuff, it's happened to me to be able to tap into knowledge that's there, which helps others, helps understand perhaps others' grief or something that happened in their childhood or a trauma where energies got stuck or something that happened, for example, to their grandmother that's coming through in their life now. And any of these things that I've learned have names, clairvoyance, clairsentience, all of these other things, I was gifted with being suddenly able to do. So I didn't have the names for it, but it happened. And what it tells me is that we can all do this, because I am not a student of this, but I'm being taught by masters on the other side, which then tells me we can all do this. We've all just turned it off.
Right. So let's talk about a little bit of history and your development. You brought up pretty normal American guy. You had Ecuadorian background. But you were brought up in this culture and you totally accepted it. When did like the first beginnings of an awakening or like, you know, we're not taught any of this in school. When did this thing sort of dawn on you that you could do this? What was that first?
I was shown from the other side. So I was shown from having lost five friends in the same year and one of them being my cousin. And just for all kinds of reasons and watching my family not being able to necessarily process his death, my wife, Amy, and I ended up taking care of his estate when he suddenly passed away at 56. Mm-hmm. And it was there that I would have all kinds of strange emotions and things that ran through me in the house.
You would feel his presence?
I didn't know. I would feel different bursts of anger and different things would happen where I would feel tremendously heavy. And I didn't know if that was just my own processing and my own dealing with loss. I really couldn't.
It could have been that, though.
Things happened in one of the cases where, you know, I took a hammer to a pantry closet as we were cleaning it out and just kind of destroyed some shelves. And, you know, my wife had known me at that point over 35 years, had never seen any kind of outburst like that from me. And all I remember is putting the hammer down and then saying, well, that was weird, but I had no anger in me.
What do you think? What was going on?
This is what I didn't know. As I look back now, this was the beginning of understanding that communications can happen through you, through your body, through your own energy field, and you can assume someone else's anxiety, frustration, anger, loss. You can feel it in your body.
Did your cousin sort of take you over?
I guess. I don't know. I didn't at that point. That wasn't anything yet. As we look back on that, it became, oh, is that what happened? So just being in that house over that year, different things would happen. Emotions were really strong. But again, I just thought it was my own processing the loss of my five friends that year for all different reasons. I didn't have a place to understand what death was or what happens. Or I just believed I wasn't going to process it, I guess. But Amy would ask me if I felt that my friend Jim was still around and that Russell, I could still feel, or I could ask Tom a question or, you know, be able to, in a way, say something to Alex.
And could you do all that?
I said, no. I said flat out, no, they're dead and they're gone. That's it. And that's where I was until Alex started moving things in the house.
Moving, like as you hear.
Some keys.
Really?
Physically moved some keys.
You saw the keys move.
Keys moving. And in the short version of it, watched them moving, watched and came up with every physical reason why they're moving, and watched those all go out the window to the point of it. There was no physical reason. This is one key. This was three different keys all lined
up.
They
moved where they were on
the
table?
Ticking like a clock. Uh-huh. They were hanging on some locks. They were all in unison ticking. Going back and forth.
Yeah.
In watching them made no sense. And I quickly ran out of physical reasons why it was happening, but figured out that there must be a breeze coming from the window. That's why they're moving. And went over to block the breeze, and I knew they would stop.
Right.
When I moved my hand to block the breeze, all three keys turned to my hand and kept moving.
Wow.
And which made no sense. And as I pulled my hand away, the keys followed my hand.
Wow.
And I would move my hands back and forth from a few inches and they would follow my hand while ticking. You know, just picture keys just dangling and swinging in the same cadence. That was at a time that I had just hit a really despondent moment that we were taking his office apart and I was ripping out his speaker wires from his ceiling, feeling like I had no right to dismantle his life and sell his house and donate all his stuff. So it was at that point of crushing sadness that I heard a voice say, don't be sad. Uh-huh. And I didn't believe in voices from the other side. I didn't have a desire to be connected to the other side. So I wasn't trying to deal with my grief. I was just crushingly feeling like, who the hell are you to take his house and give his stuff away and sell his property? Crushing was the best word I could say for that. And I heard the voice and then watched the keys. And Alex was a quantum person like myself, very scientific, very mathematical. And I think he was basically saying, check out what you can do from this side. And I would have never believed any of it if I didn't have that physical 3D.
So, but that's exactly the kind of moment I love to talk about on this program, where, and that's why I call this program New Realities, because there's because there's a moment that all of us, if we're on some sort of path, come to where what we thought was reality starts to shrink, and with this something bigger kind of takes over, and we expand into something larger than we previously conceived was possible. That's the miracle of the times we're in, because this is happening to so many people. That's why you coming out forward makes it easier for other people and makes it more acceptable. Here you are, a very left brain kind of guy. You just, so what went through your mind? You heard the voice, you saw the keys. How did you enter? You could no longer deny there was something else. So what happens inside your brain at that moment?
The beginning of the collapse starts, because
what's collapsing?
The collapse of my full belief system on science is everything.
So, and what does that do to you? I mean, how do you feel? I mean, what does that do to you?
It opened up a giant crack, which then I had to allow for something that my wife always believed in.
But what does the crack feel? Does it sad? What's the emotion behind that opening?
You know the letters WTF? I mean, it becomes, there's something going on I don't understand. But like, you know, times 85 million.
But are you angry about that? Are you excited? Are you?
No. All I knew is like, I couldn't explain something. And for that reason, my wife went and tried to find a medium for the house and took me to like a medium circle. And in that circle, in that sense of still, something's really bizarre. I don't have an explanation, but I'm not interested in this either. In sitting in that circle.
You're not interested because you were still attached to the
old. I was still attached to this doesn't really exist. But in that circle, things transpired and things happened where I learned it. Well, I did a reading for somebody when I had no interest in doing any of it.
In the circle, you did a reading.
In the circle, I did a reading for a person. I didn't even know what a reading was. And I didn't even want to share when they asked, well, so what happened? And I just heard voices for this person.
You actually heard?
I heard accents. I saw the apartment. I could see people in the room. I could see people who weren't
there. You couldn't deny that anymore then, right?
Well, that's when things fell apart. Because now, all of a sudden, I went from feeling there was a connection from my cousin in his house to now, all of a sudden, doing something for someone I didn't know anything about and saying things they called her as a little girl and hearing the accents and knowing where she was from, and then finding out from her that that all made sense to her. Mm-hmm. I just, when I was saying, well, here's what I got, just assumed, okay, it's my imagination.
Right.
And learned that, no, it wasn't my imagination, and everything I said was true.
So that blew you away even more.
That blew me away even more. The person who was teaching the psychic development, just that it was just a circle, said, I want you to come to my development weekend I'm doing next week. I had no interest in doing it. I had absolutely no interest in doing it. And my wife signed me up. And
your wife was always open.
Wife was always open, and she had lost both parents and grandparents. So she was so always there with it, and she'd go to mediums. And
but did you think she was crazy? You said, oh, that's just her thing? Or
I didn't think she was crazy.
Not crazy, but you know, it's centric.
No, it became, I'm open to all different things, but it's kind of like having, say, a different religion, right?
Right. So that was her thing. That wasn't your thing. That was something she did and that made her happy and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, and I didn't have judgment because probably 6 months before, she'd wanted to see the medium John Edwards,
right,
who was playing down, you know, so we're up in Connecticut and he was in Queens. And I didn't really have a judgment. She wanted to go. I didn't want to go, but I said, I'll drive you down there. And I did. I drove her down and then I proceeded to drive around Queens for 2.5 hours and then picked her up and took her home. So that's where I was.
Okay.
I was okay with her doing it, but I didn't have to be around.
Yeah, you didn't even care about that.
It didn't exist.
It didn't, but it was nothing. It's like, okay, I'll watch the ball game. You go see the medium.
Right.
But then you start to hear this, but you must have been more shocked than anyone when you started to hear the voice about this woman that you were doing the reading on.
Yeah. Well, no, because I didn't think it was anything. I thought it was just my imagination. From that class that I did then that weekend, I ended up doing reading after reading in the class, including the teacher's mother.
Well, when did it hit you?
When it hit me. So when I did like 5 or 6 readings that were dead on, that everybody, it meant something to other people in the class, and it was all accurate, and I could see people and I could feel how tall they were or how they felt at the end, and we kind of explained how they passed away. So I experienced deaths, and everything I said each time I was saying it to me didn't mean anything because I totally didn't believe it because I wasn't.
You experienced deaths, you're saying?
Yeah, someone passed away.
Oh, you would be able to.
I could experience what it was like at the time and how, and then, you know, you go back and you explain to them what happened.
But you thought you were just making it up.
I didn't know what was going on at that point.
Uh-huh.
I just could close my eyes and then could feel everything, and my heart rate would change, and
really?
I could feel a different flavor of anxiety that I've never tasted before, or feel stress, or feel anger, or sadness, or pride, or all of these things I could feel, but they weren't mine.
Yes.
So it was incredibly humbling.
I think it's. So that should have got you on some sort of track to say, you know, well, maybe you should look at this a little further, right?
Well, what it forced me to do was walk away for drive to the water and just go stare at the water for a couple of hours and wonder what the heck was going on, because I lost all my bearings at that point. After that happened, there was no reference points anymore. Everything I believed in collapsed. All of my belief systems were gone. And so it was one of the scariest points in my life.
That was actually scary.
It was terrifying because I didn't understand why I would know all of these things. How could I know about how people died and what they looked like and what happened at the end and what they went through and then give them messages for their families when I wasn't trying to do it and I didn't even believe in it still at that point. So that means something was going on because I wasn't trying to do it.
Yeah. That's strange, isn't it?
It destroyed my whole belief system. And so from that is where I was finally able to say that what I believed was wrong. And my sense of...
Was it wrong or was it just like immature or childish? Or, I mean, I wouldn't say... I mean, it's part of our cultural conditioning. I wouldn't say you were... Well, yeah, wrong is a strong word. I would say it's a development. I mean,
it didn't feel like it. It was like
you were wrong.
I was wrong. I
mean, so that's why how you needed to put it in order to like make that switch. I get that.
That is the most humbling place.
I get
to
it. Okay.
To not even just be able to have time to even think about it, to say you're wrong, to just flat out know you were wrong because I told my wife, my friends were dead and they were gone and that's it. And I believe that just a couple of weeks before that.
Uh-huh. So knowing, saying that you were wrong, no, which is, I think you're right. That's like a humbling place, and it's a clearing place. Set the groundwork for you to start building like a new way of identifying reality. And so did you get really excited at that point? Or that, wow, the whole world opened up?
The whole world collapsed inwards to like explode outwards. It took me to the place to then be as, you can't be more open than that. You can't even,
because you were empty. You was like,
right,
no belief.
If you're not trying to be open, but you get like hit by a train that says you're now all over the place because you got hit by this train, you're open.
Well, so did your psychic awareness start to even increase from there?
Yeah. So from there, I learned the difference with being working psychically and then working mediumistically.
What's the difference?
So psychically, it's being able to be with someone in their energy field and be able to read and know what's transpiring between the two of you. So right. Myself and the person.
So
in
you
front
can
of
read
me.
Someone and say, right. Oh, you're feeling this is happening for you and I see this. And yeah.
Right. And then mediumistically is this access more to the other side. And so I point it going, so psychically going between you and I, and mediumistically between us and the sky.
Or the ancestors or whoever's hanging
right.
around.
So from that, I learned that there was this interesting interplay between these. And I guess some people can do one or the other.
Well, I was going to say that some people are either a medium or psychic, or sometimes they're both, but sometimes not.
All I know is I got this crazy circle that just went in all directions, and we could converse with the ancestors and me and relatives up there and the energy fields of, yourself or your mm-hmm. traumas or things that have happened to you. And we just play in this field. And so it's become working with people one-on-one, but it's my guidance then showed up. So,
but no, you never took classes, or studied with anyone.
I only then started attending a spiritualist church to watch people working with energy, to watch people working with just their knowings, mm-hmm. and that they weren't afraid of it, and they weren't mm-hmm. doing anything but just demonstrating a connection. And in that is where I became exposed to all the different mm-hmm. areas and names of things and things that people do in the energy fields. And that same pathway took me to this whole sense of my guides.
Talk about that. No, that's a good follow-through. So you started to do readings, you started to let me just ask you, all the time you were pretending to be a regular person in the world with a job and not telling people you had these things going on, right? No? Or you did start to? What happened?
It started to happen as I would check out a class and, mm-hmm. okay, what's psychometry? What's mm-hmm. clairsentience? What's trans-channeling? And in those, I would meet some people, and it was safe to talk about.
But
there.
In the real world, what was in your life world, like, your other life like?
No, in the real world, I wasn't announcing any of this.
So you kept this, like, to the people you worked. What kind of work
Absolutely.
Did you do?
Absolutely. I have advertising and corporate communication. So
you couldn't say, guess what, I took a channeling class. You wouldn't say that.
No, not at all, to nobody.
Because they wouldn't, because you knew the mindset. They just wouldn't accept it.
They wouldn't accept. And it's interesting, my company's name was O Communications, and now I was doing a different type of communications.
Right.
But no, I was not. I couldn't. I didn't feel I could have Sony. Now, after a few years, that I feel like now too much energy and inertia's come to show me and demonstrate what having this access means for people and mm-hmm. how it can help them work on even their own things mm-hmm. and their
Definitely.
Own traumas and or their traumas of their parents or someone who's working with grief or mm-hmm. or dealing with the loss of a loved one. All kinds of places we can go.
But how long ago has this process? When did you do that thing with
that probably happened like 4 years ago.
And your cousin's thing, living in the house, only 4 years ago.
Four and a half years ago.
Wow. And now you're ready to really dive into this.
Yeah, I've
world.
Been doing the work. I just haven't broadcast it. And
but now, actually, we're broadcasting it now.
Oh, God. No, we're not supposed to do it that way when you decide you're going to broadcast.
No, we're broadcasting. It's funny.
I'm holding my head.
No, don't do that. It's fine because maybe it's time. I mean, you were here.
It's
I was
time.
Here. I was looking. And but I mean, you coming out like this. You said, you know, it reminds you of like gay liberation, you
Absolutely.
Know,
Absolutely.
Because people weren't allowed to be themselves. And now
you
weren't allowed to be yourself. And now you're giving yourself permission to be yourself if you want to.
We all owe it to ourselves to do that. I always felt strongly about authenticity. And even gay rights and people really having to hide in the closet. But here I've been doing the exact thing.
Yeah, you've been hiding your connections.
Yes, I have.
And so how does it feel now? Is it still a little scary to come out and be public about this?
No, because now I really understand that when we open our minds to that this connection exists, that there's so much information and there's so much good we can do for humanity. And you know, as you learn to go into that field, the place that, and it's not woo-woo. Now we get into quantum physics and places that really were my validations and allowed me to step further into it.
Yes.
The sense of this, everything being energy, as everyone hears, but it's exactly what dictates the access points. And same with working now more so with death and dying and helping people with transitioning, doing hospice work and also helping folks hopefully prepare to leave the planet. We don't go away. And it's flat out all the guidance shows we don't go away.
What do you mean we don't go away?
You don't. I mean, you know, when you get to tell people about what happened in the hospital room and how
to
the person in the coma heard and knew everything and was fully aware, when you get to share that with somebody and it makes total sense to them and things are said that you would know nothing about.
So you're hearing things from the other side.
Absolutely.
And you're relaying this to other people.
Right.
And so that let me just get this understood. So when you're hearing things from the other side, these are real beings that you're hearing. These are entities. These are ancestors. These are not just, you know, they're not your mind.
No, that's not. No, because I couldn't make up the things that are true for everybody else.
Right.
So that means it's like picking up a radio frequency.
Right.
And hearing Jack Benny's voice. It's like, I'm not creating the content. I'm not writing the content, but I happen to be able to tune into the radio station for someone else's benefit. So it must be set with an intention and all of the work. And for those out there who feel and worry about working with, quote, the other side, first, there is no other side. It's all here around us. Those that have passed around us are around us as energy. They just are not here in three dimensions anymore. And I only know that because I hear them and they bring out nothing but love and acceptance, and they honor those that are here. There's no devils and ghosts and all of that darkness that Hollywood puts out. That's not the connection to the other side. The true connection is comes only from love and acceptance. There's nothing else. There's no, it's like trying to breathe air on Mars. It doesn't exist.
So where do people go when they leave? What is that? Have you had that kind of conversation? Like, what is that other side about? I mean, they're not just sitting around waiting to talk to people. What are they doing over there?
I never put it in these terms, but I'd call it like a universal bigness. You explode. It's like being a light bulb on Earth. Small and contained, and then on the other side you're like a quasar, you know, a supernova. You just are this giant mass of energy, which then has the ability to be lots of places. And so someone with 10 grandchildren can be with all 10 grandchildren and be present with them, and it doesn't match the laws of our earthbound physics.
Right.
Which means if you're not in one place, you're in the other. In that quantum world, and it is a quantum world, they can be there for everybody at different times, and only because they show up, you know, when we sit down to work with an intention for somebody to deal with something they're struggling with. That's really what, from my understanding, they come through for, to help heal and help bring understanding. Uh-huh. That's my connection to the other side.
That I get the sense that you've expanded your reasoning to include the quantum physics to explain this types of phenomena. But tell me about the guide. So what happened? You were doing these readings as a medium, a psychic, and then what's this thing about the guides that came in?
I learned to about journeying with a drum, or I was, you know,
shaman.
This is my wife again. Signing me up for a workshop that I wanted to have nothing to do with.
You still didn't want to have anything, even after all these stuff.
I was kicking and screaming the whole time, I think I am coming out. But basically, I'm coming out, and I think probably the best name for what's happened to me is I'm kind of become like the accidental shaman.
That's
I'm being reminded of things that I've done before. And so I had done a little workshop with journeying with a drum. And in that workshop, ignited that same access point of working with someone mediumistically. But all of a sudden, I was introduced to four really old Indians.
What do you mean introduced?
I heard a voice.
Okay, that was different than anything you had heard
through
before.
Through a jump, completely different. So this was completely different because I could work with people and I could hear the voices of the people around them, or their father that just passed, or any of those. So that, so I was starting to become comfortable that...
That was normal
that,
for
that,
you.
That,
you
could... It wasn't normal yet, but it was like, okay, it seems like everybody that comes in here, whatever I say is making sense to them. It's not making sense to me, but it's making sense to them. So I'll just keep rolling with losing any connection to, does this make sense?
Right.
So I learned I could do that well. So in working with a drum, I was carried by an energy field of a Black Panther who took me to a place where I was introduced to four really old Indians. And those are my guides.
So you went on a shamanic journey, basically.
I guess. I didn't know what that meant at the time.
And then you kind of went to this region and there were these four. You actually saw the beings?
Yeah, I do. They come. They're present all the time.
So they're four ancient.
They're ancient.
Native American?
Ecuador? My bloodlines go back to Ecuador. And so, yeah, they're not dressed American style, but they're old, really old natives. They're, you know, they kind of look like those portraits of Sitting Bull that you see. Yeah. They look like that. Mm-hmm. And they are, these voices just came in out of nowhere.
And what did they have to say?
So I heard voices in a different language, and I clearly thought, wait a minute, this isn't somebody's uncle, I don't know. And I said, who is speaking to me right now?
Because when you were doing the mediumistic, you could have dialogues back and forth with these people? Oh, well, that's pretty good.
So hearing voices and knowing that was not strange anymore. But these were new voices.
Right.
And as I asked them, who is this? Which was scary, because I really now was asking about something I knew nothing about.
Okay.
And they came in with these lines, which I will never forget. I just got a voice back very clearly saying, we are one, we are all, we are we, and we are you.
Mm.
We are Fire Circle. And from there, my life changed again. Because the voices come in a different language. It sounds And I'm still trying to identify what it is.
It's not English, you mean?
It's not English. It's not Spanish.
But you know what it means.
I understand everything.
But it's not a language that we know.
Not that I've identified yet. Uh-huh. I went back and to check that, you know, in the mountains in the Andes, where my ancestors come from, a language called Quechua's been spoken mm-hmm. for years. So all of the shamans and anybody learning those kind of things probably are Quechua-based.
Quechua. And, yeah, that's a kind of popular language of the Andes.
So that was the language of the Incas, and I've been told it's the language before that. But I don't know, and I'm still trying to identify it. But all I know is they speak in a language that I understand everything. They've asked me to start speaking it during sessions to help people with some of their limitations or some of their traumas or some of whatever it is. All I know is I understand it all.
But can you speak it anytime?
When I get into a state where if it's activated by a question, I can go into place. And then the guides, depending on whether they're doing healing work mm-hmm. or helping someone understand something about perhaps their wiring, they don't know why, mm-hmm. you know, they have an addiction or why they can't get past something, then the different voices come in, but they speak the language.
Do they speak in unison, the four of them? As like one
they come
mind?
In, step in at different times.
Oh, each one has a different kind
they're,
of persona.
They're a bit different. And recently, as I've worked, and you know, my desire in all of this from day one was I had no desire to be a medium. I really didn't want necessarily. There was another knowing saying that there's more to this. So mm-hmm. meeting the guides from there made sense. And so the guidance and the voices that come in to support are really clear about the difference between being connected and being guided.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really important. And for those of you out there who feel connected and feel things and have been empaths and done all these things your whole life, it's really important to realize that guidance is important with your connection or else. There are times when the connection can get muddied. And this is why we all as healers have to work on clearing our own things.
So you know, though, when the connection is clear and when it's not. Do you have a sense of that?
Yeah.
So if you are you like channeling these beings?
Yeah, I can. They've had me write pages about people I've never met by just mm-hmm. holding something that belongs to them. Working towards medical intuition with that, which uh-huh. is really what I'd wanted to do. And the call to work with people dying, or as they call it, the transition.
These are what the council, the fire council.
Was asked of me.
To work with transitioning people, the fire council.
Right.
That's like their specialty with
them? It was one of the things that if you open up yourself to want to hear more or see more, is know that there are tests and there are things that come to see how much you really are open.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes things come before you that you had no interest in doing. And so the call came for me to work with those, obviously here,
right.
and working with those on the other side. Okay, I was good with that, but they said, and you will work with those in transition, to which I had great resistance, but
why'd you have resistance to that? you've been kicking and screaming the whole way.
Right? Really. Because I never, I never wanted to be around anything in death. I don't know. I would take the bugs out of my house. I wouldn't squash them.
Mm.
So there was a part of me that just didn't wish to be around anything. And I did notice as a runner that if I ever ran by a squirrel that just got ran over or a raccoon or something, all the fuel went out of my legs immediately. It took everything out of me. So to me, seeing something like death mm-hmm. just meant pulling, it's like pulling the emergency cord on a train. It was not something I wanted to be.
But now you're working in hospices
Now when spirit calls and spirit says you're going to say this or you're going to tell them that or you're going to share this, I don't question anymore.
What kind of stuff do you share with them?
Just in here, there's been enough moments that I was asked to say something or share something with someone that would make no sense to me and makes total sense to the person for healing purposes. So
right.
The call to work with death and dying and that the transition, as they called it, I've just known now to just say, when you put it in front of me, I'll be there. I'll be ready, and then you show me what to do next. And so that's why I stepped into that. And it's been amazing, an amazing journey that really helps me understand what healing means. I couldn't understand healing until I could understand what dying meant. And so energetically now, so now we're talking the energies of what happens in transition and what happens to the body, what happens to the spirit when
and
people
pass.
And you
see all that.
Fully understand.
What's happening on all those levels?
Well, we're preparing to go to something bigger. And so dying is not the end. Dying is actually the beginning. And as they call it, it's the graduation.
But we've come from there as well.
Right. Well, we forget the pureness and the bigness we were before we came, of course, because we don't have conscious memory of that.
Right.
But going to the other side is really, if my belief, what I've experienced is, if we knew how great it was when we're leaving here, we'd be in a big rush to get out.
But this is also a great place, though.
This is an amazing place to learn lessons on acceptance, self-acceptance, and love, and all of those things. So it's where we can all interact with each other. In the spirit world, it's just big energies all out there doing beautiful things, but it's not like this one-to-one. It's like being in New York City. You know, you're walking around New York City. It's different than being on a highway in California.
That's the difference.
That's the difference. So here on Earth, we're like Manhattan. And right. There's something really cool about it. And there's an amazing energy. And there's a time to be there and just take that in. So I'd see that would be like our time on Earth now.
But then you go to the country where it's peaceful and different, a whole different vibe.
Yeah. Then you're in Tuscany with a bottle of wine and all
that's
is good.
All different. No, but let's get back to the guys, because you also said they come through with different languages. Are you able to tap? Do you want? Do you feel like? Is there a message that maybe they want to give us?
I can ask.
Yeah, why don't you ask?
I can ask.
And talk through your process about how you connect a little bit.
So connection is usually done with a drum, or what I've been shown. So I've been asked by the guides to have a drum built with a specific intention.
That's good.
Again, I didn't know about drumming. I didn't know about all of these tribal things that, as I meet and work with other Native Americans or anybody, they all know what it all is. I'm just saying, well, I learned this from the old guys on the other side, and it's amazing how kind of universal it is. But so I work with a drum now, and I'll work with a really low resonant tone. So it's not a banging of a drum. It's a very low tone. But what I've learned scientifically is that by showing me how to bend a sound, that I can marry the left and right hemispheres of the brain. And when you do that and they cancel each other out, now you're accessing the pineal gland, and it opens intuition. And so in my sessions, I'll work with that to either use that to take me up into the field to hear their voices, or to take the other person up into the space to access their own intuition, and then maybe help get into some of their trapped energy fields.
But you don't have a drum right now.
But I can still, I don't have to have the drum too.
Let's see, because I think, I mean, here's a forum and they might have a message or...
I will share. I will go in all of this. I'm not afraid to just go and trust it.
Okay.
That they come in. So I'll take just a minute to get quiet. Mm-hmm. And so one thing that would help. And it's an important thing is what they have shown me is in any session work that the person I'm working with has to come with a question.
Okay.
I have millions to be of questions. Activated by a question, and that's when they come. And I think for everyone out there who wants to hear, hear voices from the other side, or perhaps loved ones who are gone, absolutely ask them questions, talk to them. And that's the only way they can come in. They have to be invited.
I have a million questions.
So. You're Alan Steinfeld. So yes, I know you do. So yeah, let me.
Okay. Yeah. Do your thing.
And the biggest secret is knowing that it's not far you have to go. So.
Not far you have to go to get access.
For all of us, it's not far. It's all here.
Mm-hmm. Let me just take a moment.
PBS Radio.
You got a
just
stone.
From my neck, I have a stone from
okay
from Peru and or from the Amazon or the Andes or so I'm
okay
that's good enough
okay to whatever you need we're just gonna take a few minutes Don and just might be a little
I'm good
okay so you have access now
mm-hmm.
you've gained access like a computer code you've access
no, yes it's really not oh. as difficult as
I see
as
so
we think
it was a shift in consciousness there.
It's an invitation for guidance for the higher good for for those before them. And it's just, they just need an invitation.
So my question for them, the council, Fire Council, is talk about like what's coming to the planet right now. How do we need to be as a global civilization? What's right action at this point in our history.
So I'll share, and as they speak, I speak slower because they speak in a different language, and
okay,
I translate. If it's safe and allowed, they'll share the language. So
yeah,
let's
I'd love
just
to
see where
I would
they
love
go.
To actually hear the language if you want to share.
So first thing they're saying, and they will share it, but they're first acknowledging the light spreader is what they're calling you that. They wish to acknowledge the work you do, but they're saying the light spreader. I've never heard that term.
That's very nice.
But that, though, again, they're saying it's really important that be acknowledged. So what you do is really important. They're being really strong.
It feels good.
For though he wishes to deflect,
right.
It's really important. Again, they're being really clear.
Okay.
Wow.
I'm going to take that in. No, it's okay to show. I mean, yeah. Okay.
They always come in with great acceptance for all. And the language is never negative. They're... And I'm just sharing as they speak.
Right.
There's never a negative word used. I don't understand how they structure language to help. But in this realm, they influence and guide without correction. And it's mind-boggling to me how it happens.
Mm-hmm.
How do you deflect someone from a path they're on? With a gentle breeze, as they say. as opposed to a strong correction and a gate that gets slammed closed. They don't work that way. So
so how do we gear the planet, or those who are listening, or those, or you know, the energetics in a direction that could be beneficial for all? And also, I want to say thank you, thank them for acknowledging me. I let that in, and I'm happy to be acknowledged on those dimensions.
They're laughingly calling you light spreader with the shield to deflect the attention back to you.
Right.
So you're spreading the light, but you're putting up. So they're laughing.
I'm going to take
the
shield.
They love that about you. So
okay.
They want you to just put the shield on and let that light touch you also.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So that's important for me.
And it's very light and comical. So when they come in with that grin, and again, understand language and feelings come in with tremendous emotions.
Yeah.
So hearing things on the other side, they're not always words that you can feel. Happiness or something that's said lovingly or with some correction, you can feel that.
No, I feel it. That's very sweet of it. Thank you.
So so what I'll do is I'll share, because I will, and they're saying, because you're a light spreader, that the language is can be used, and I will then translate what they say. So what I'm going to do is, you know, talk about being right out there. I'm going to let them speak, and then I'll tell you what it says.
Great.
I have no knowledge of what's coming
way. But it's very exciting, this, because so, you're present with this. So
so let's hear which one of the four steps in. Jana o nya aishu na ma akka jana ko tu chinga po kita ana o cha andita au na chidu nku kai ko chanu tu pi una aisha ai o hona ata ata ko yu mo ta ni cha ni ina wa tu chidu mok a mo yu na ka cha ni ta mba a cha chu pa ti ina ha wa a jo inu una ka what he advises is that we think that we have to do this big restructuring, and it's not about that. It's not about having to dismantle and put tremendous efforts on something to change the planet, to change our interactions. He was saying it's important that this is not a giant global effort, that this is an individual effort that's done by each soul where they stand every day and every minute. So we change the planet by being yourself in your purest of love, and everything else will adjust from there. But there was some sense of just stay away from the feeling that you have to build a fortress, or you have to build another superstructure to fight what you perceive are other superstructures, because the world is changed one soul at a time.
What dimension are these? Are you coming from? Would they answer personal questions like that? Like, where are they? What realm are they in?
I have them. I know, of course, you want to know what you want to know. จะยืนยิ้มวันนั้นที่นั่นก็ให้เห็นหน้าโบจะแอบที่บอกเอ็นตัวตัวมองกันนัดตัดหน้า so they clearly say they're of earth element they have learned from the star people as they say but they are of earth element and that there are many realms and all they are qualified to teach and which is what they wish to share is what they call the medicine of the mountain and so it's very earth grounded it works with plant medicines and it works with very grounded energies that are tied directly to the physical body.
Mm. So what are some good plant medicines at this time for people, for me, for people listening? Could they give us a little plant?
That's something they're asking me to delve back into. So everything becomes remembering. They very clearly will remind as time, when it's presented, the information comes when it's time. But they strongly, they call them the elementals.
Right.
I don't know. That's a term that they just call.
No, the elementals are what exists within the plant kingdom. Too.
Is it? I didn't even know that.
Yes, the elementals.
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. But it's a strong push back to that.
Those are the energetics of plants, or the elementals. Energetic spirits of plants are called.
See, and I didn't know that. Mm. That's a term that they've spoken several times, and again they very humbly, feel this is their domain, and of the mountains, and there are many other places to access information and to get guidance from. They are qualified to teach.
But they chose you now for, do you want to ask them what, if you can get out of the way, what your mission at this point is?
So
just say
they're laughing at me. Mm-hmm. They always tend to be amused by my hesitations. They say it is about now the melding of the science-based Western thinking and the heart-based thinking of the Southern Hemisphere. So they laughing me kind of call me the hybrid.
But you're a bridge then that way.
I guess that's what they're saying. Mm-hmm. And they laugh about it because I resist like you with what they called you, the light right. spreader. I resist but they laugh. Same amusing okay, but it is about teaching and using the person who believes in the quantum and the science and the provable things to be an example of what happens when you release those limitations into this other realm. And that's my job right now, is to maybe help teach that to those who don't, like me, didn't believe in any of it and didn't want to have anything to do with anything woo-woo-y.
You're here to teach the people that you were I just heard three different, were those three different voices that came through? They sounded like a different, or was that the same one?
The first two were the same one, and then there was a different one. Uh-huh. And one thing that has been added recently is as I work towards healing, that the feminine voices have shown up.
Oh, are there more feminine voices? So you said there's four?
Out of nowhere. So now there's another component. As I worked from dealing with people and their connections and starting to work with understanding mindsets and trauma or trapped fields in someone's history. But as I've started to work now towards working towards healing and understanding healing, because I accepted the call to work with death and dying. And so it was their sequence, not mine. I wanted to work with healing, not dying, but they asked me to do dying first. And once I accepted that, they started teaching me healing. And guess who showed up? Female voices. And the feminines are the healers and the movers of everything.
So is there a feminine voice that would like to come through now about talking about the honoring of the divine feminine, how we need to move back to honoring the earth and the feminine, the life-giving force? Is there a message?
Let's see if they... It's interesting that it's being relegated back to the men.
Okay.
The men distribute information. When he brings something to be healed that has to do with the body, that's when they'll come. But to pass information, the feminine voice won't come in now, which is interesting.
That's okay.
Yeah,
maybe
it's interesting. It's a sacred space where it's kind of bringing up the big bats seem to show up.
I see.
But they said right now we're going to let the male voices.
Well, you know what's great is that you're really, I see you dropping in, you're really trusting what's come to you. And that's big. That's big to see you not judge it, to just allow it and trust it and believe in it. And this is what's gaining strength in you. This is why you need to be, I'm just getting this for you, you need to be doing this work, because the more you trust, the bigger the message, the more powerful the message, the more potent the delivery and the impression on others. So you like when you get all this other junk and all that insecurity and all that, you know, that hesitation out of the way, you can then like land a punch, you know, boom. And that's what I get.
Well, I thank you, and I will accept that for my own healing. So yes,
because your healing's about everybody. I mean, you're here to, you know, spread the light too, I guess, but deliver. You know, you have a specific doorway there that's open to you.
I trust that implicitly, and I don't know anything to be more true in my life.
Wow.
And so maybe, now it's time for me to be that same truth. Mm-hmm. And interesting how I've been resisting it.
Yeah, but any final message before we...
Let's see. Chikunat watch yetanu. Real short and sweet. They just go be love. Is their advice to all. Just go be love.
Okay.
It's bigger than we think. It's bigger than the word.
Love is bigger than we think.
Love is the only language spoken on the other side. That I think would be good to let everybody walk away with. That's the only language from the other side. There's nothing else.
Wow. This is the second time I'm hearing that. I was just talking to someone else who had lost his wife, and she started to talk to him, and that's the same message. And thank you, Oscar, for...
You're welcome.
And it feels pretty good just come out with this, doesn't it?
I appreciate the synchronicities here. Mm-hmm. Finally committed to letting it out, and then boom, I ran into Alan Steinberg and his radio show. So,
but it feels good. I mean,
I don't know anything to be more true. Nothing is more true.
But you come so it's 4 years, and now you're like, I mean, those voices sounded authentically native something. I mean,
if anyone out there can identify them, please, you know, it doesn't matter, because
I know
what they mean. But, and as they've asked me to speak, it means something to
the
person
sounded,
that needs to hear whatever that is.
Sounded, I don't know what it meant either, but I mean the language, but it sounded pretty authentic. Like, I don't know what South American native languages sound like, but it sounded very like North American Lakota or
I don't.
Whatever.
The interesting thing is I don't know what other ones sound like, so I have no training in the back of my head that could be coming from my subconscious.
Right.
It's not there. It's from somewhere else. So
it's not. But so do you have a website where people, if they want to get in touch with you, if they want to like do readings?
This is so new, but this will really, Alan's really pushing me over the edge now in that in trying to surmise what's happened to me and to the outside world, and also to just sum it all up, is I believe that I already, and I don't know if I officially got the name yet, but it's going to be the Accidental Shaman.
Oh, yeah.
Most likely the Accidental Shaman.
I like that.
.com, because it's my heritage showing up on me and saying, guess what? So let's.
And what's your last name again?
Recalde.
Recalde.
R-E-C-A-L-D-E, Recalde.
Oscar Recalde. This is his story. No, thank you, Oscar. I really appreciate you know, being so open and honest, authentic, and just real with your process. I know it's deeply personal, and but we had a connection when we first met at the Meta Center years ago, and you were already, that must have been like 4 years ago or something, right?
It was, and it was exactly, as I said, it was. What was happening to Paul Selig was happening to me.
Right.
And his books were what my guide spoke, but in another language. And that's what told me, okay, I'm not crazy, because this is coming out from somebody else with the same messages.
Wow.
Just, I happen to hear a different language.
But you've come so far in these 4 years.
Yeah. We can all do this. That's all I have to say.
And we can all do this. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Oscar.
Thank you for listening, everyone.
Any final words? I guess you've settled.
You know, I may wake up tomorrow morning and go, I really do that?
No. Anyway, thank you.
Okay.
This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. You heard it right here, really for the first time, coming out with this. With this levels of awakening that my friend Oscar's been through, and is continuing to go through, and so many other people on New Realities and on BBS Radio, for that matter. So thanks for listening. You could find me at newrealities.com. You could go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/newrealities. Send me an email at newrealities@earthlink.net.
And go be love, and as they said.
That's a good slogan. I think I'll make a bumper sticker. Go be love.
Go be love.
And thanks for listening. And yes, peace and love. And good night.